Can anybody tell me who were Adam and Eve? Okay, they were the first ones to be born. Okay, where did they live? In a jungle? Was it a nice jungle? Yeah. What did they do? God told them not to eat what? An apple, okay. But what did they do? They ate. They ate from the tree that God had told them not to eat of, right? What happened after that? Okay, they didn't die right away, did they? No. But they did. God said they were going to have to die, right? And what else did they have to do? They had to hide because they didn't have any clothes on, right? Okay, what else? They had to leave the garden. And that meant they had to go out and work, right? It just wasn't very nice what happened after that sin, was it? Yeah. You know what? We've been suffering from that ever since. Because a lot of times we get sick, don't we? And people don't get along sometimes very well with each other. Sometimes we have to work really hard. All of that is the result of that sin. But if you look at the second reading today, you're going to say, why is he talking about Adam and Eve? They weren't in the readings at all. And you're right. But there's something in that second reading to look at. John the apostle, had a vision. And he saw a new heaven and a new earth. And it said that the old earth and the old heaven passed away. And it says he saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And it said, God will dwell with them and they will be his people. And then right at the end it says, behold, I make all things new. What John saw was that God was making all things new. And that holy city we've come to understand as the church, the body of Christ. And that God is making us all new. And that one day at the end of time, that garden that Adam and Eve had to leave, we will all get to live in forever. God is remaking that garden. He's making a new heaven and a new earth. And we get to live in it. But there's one thing very important. How do we get to be there? Because we can't get there on our own, can we? How do we get to be there? Who's going to bring us there? Jesus, great. Jesus is the one. Jesus said in the Gospel of St. John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we want to get to heaven, and that's what we're talking about, if we want to get to heaven, we do it through Jesus. And you know what? That's why you're coming to communion. That's why all of us go to communion. So that we can become more closely one with Jesus. Jesus has given us himself so that we can become one with him and he can take us to his Father in heaven. Now, how do we become more and more one with him? Well, it starts in baptism, but he gave us the special sacrament of his body and blood so that we can constantly have his life made new within us. Because what happens, we receive communion once and then we get selfish and we do something we shouldn't have done, and that life gets a little bit less strong in us. And so we have to come back. We have to say, Jesus, give me your life more fully. I need your strength. Help me to be the kind of person that you want me to be. And that's what happens when we receive Eucharist. Jesus gives us again the gift of his life so that his life can grow stronger within us. Because on our own we die, don't we? Yeah, we can't live forever, can we? But Jesus, as I said earlier, lives forever because he died and rose again. If his life is in you and I, then we will live forever too. So it's really important that we keep that life within us so that we can live forever. For us who are adults in the community, especially parents and godparents, family, we give them the example. By the way, we show our need to have the life of Jesus within us. They will grow to understand how important it is that they have the life of Jesus within them. We never want to underestimate the importance of our example, because what we do teaches others. And if we live our faith in Jesus, if we have a hunger to come and receive him, if we receive him with reverence, and then after we receive him, if we really try to let that change our lives, then they're going to have a good model for how they are to receive Jesus into their lives. You know, our coming to communion ought to be with great reverence, yearning to have that life deepened in us. After communion, that time of silence ought to be a time of thanksgiving in which we thank God for that life that is ours, time that we communicate with Jesus, talk to him about gratitude, about needing his strength. But if we can do that, if we can model that for them, that's why I think Father Matthias has been talking so hard about leaving church early. Because when we do that, we're not really communicating with Jesus. We're out seeing how fast we can get home or out to the restaurant. But we need to take that time to really focus on who it is we received so that we will grow. And if we grow, then these children will have better models. One last thing. When someone loves you, how often do you want them to tell you they love you? Is once a year enough? Is it? You want your mom just to tell you that she loves you every year on your birthday and no more? And that's the only time? How often do you want to hear it? Every day? Would twice a day be too much? I don't think so, would it? Would you take it three times a day? Yeah, we all want to know that we're loved. You know, when we love Jesus and we want him to come to us, we need to do that often too. Not just once a year, not just on our first communion, but he gives us his body and blood so that we can receive it at least once a week. And we can actually receive it every day. But we need to tell him that we love him so that he can come to us and tell us that he loves us. So don't stay away, okay? Come as often as you can so that that oneness with Jesus can grow within you. And with Jesus in you, then you can live more like Jesus lived, more like he wants each one of us to live.